Author Jacqueline Woodson holds the idea of Black girlhood as almost sacred. Her young adult, middle grade, and picture books are almost all told from the perspective of young African-American girls growing up around Brooklyn. Her 2014 African-American Girls Growing Up Around Brooklyn, her 2014 memoir in verse, Brown Girl Dreaming, won a National Book Award. And her book covers are generally adorned with honors from Newbery, the NAACP, and the Coretta Scott King Award. But it's been 20 years since her last novel for adults. Woodson returns to the forum with Another Brooklyn, a story about a young woman coming to terms with her father's death, her mother's absence, and the memories of her girlhood friends in 1970s Bushwick. Producer Mike John spoke with the author, and she began with a short passage that puts the book's extraordinarily poetic language on full display.
We came by way of our mother's memories. When Gigi was 6 years old, her mother pulled her in front of the mirror. It was cracked already, Gigi said. I guess that should have been a sign. Broken-ass mirror, my crazy mama making promises. Those eyes, her mother said, were your great-grandmother's eyes. She came to South Carolina by way of a Chinaman daddy and mulatto mama. Gigi stared at her eyes, the slight slant of them, the deep brown. The hair, too, her mother said, holding up Gigi's braids, heavy and thick like hers. The only curse you carry, her mother said, is the dark skin I passed on to you. You gotta find a way past that skin. You gotta find your way to the outside of it. Stay in the shade. Don't let it go no darker than it already is. Don't drink no coffee either. When we finally became friends, when the four of us trusted each other enough to let the world surrounding us into our words, we whispered secrets, pressed side by side by side, or sitting cross-legged in our newly tight circle. We opened our mouths and let the stories that had burned nearly to ash in our bellies finally live outside of us.
Jacqueline, thank you so much for that. I love that passage. There's so much I feel that we could unpack from that. But I love the idea of finally letting a story sort of tumble out of your mouth after a long time. And appropriately enough, with this book, this is your second adult novel in 20 years. Mm-hmm. So how did you settle on this story to tell?
I think the major reason I wanted to talk about this story was because I wanted to create the character. I wanted to put the character of Bushwick on the page. And I think living here in New York City and watching all the enormous changes happening in a neighborhood that was very close and personal to me as a young person, I wanted to kind of document it. And then in documenting, I wanted to tell the story of these four girls, these four Black girls. And a part of it is coming out of this tradition of writing stories for young people and knowing that voice and knowing what it means to be an adolescent and knowing all those feelings that are there. I felt like I had that. I could do this. I also wanted to push the boundaries a little bit. I had been writing books for young people for so long. I wanted to just kind of step outside of that and see what I could do in another genre.
Yeah, so the four girls who are at the center of the book and the narrator in particular, August, can you sort of introduce us to these characters?
So August is a transplant from Tennessee. She comes with her dad and her younger brother, and she comes with a longing and a missing of her mother, who when the book opens is back in Tennessee, supposedly. And so that longing kind of threads itself through August's existence. And in the process, she's bearing witness to these three girls, Sylvia, Angela, and Gigi, who seem to be best friends. And she has this kind of love-hate relationship as she watches them from a distance and eventually becomes a part of their circle and their narrative, and the four of them become inseparable.
Did you know girls like this?
did I know girls? I think I did. I'm sure I did. I always say that all of my characters, there's some part of Jacqueline Woodson in them. So I knew, I have, as an adult, you know, I have very tight girlfriends who I would give the world for, and they give it right back for me. And I always questioned, I never understood how women didn't have female friends. Like, how do you not walk through the world with your girls? Because that was so much of my own adolescence and childhood, was having the close friends around me, many of whom are still very, very close to me.
Yeah, and I mean, especially with, you know, with Gigi, Sylvia, and Angela, I mean, at, you know, to August, they sort of at first represent this sort of alien presence that she's fascinated by, and then they form a sort of protection around each other. Can you talk about how you view these formative pre-adolescent friendships?
I think they're so important. I mean, I think friendship is important in and of itself because it keeps us from walking through the world alone, and it teaches us how to trust. It teaches us how to love. It teaches us how to, it teaches us empathy. You know, we learn so much from those early social interactions, and they stay with us, yeah, aside from the imprinting, the fact that so for so many people, unless they've completely shut it out because it was so painful, their pre-adolescent and adolescent years are the most important years in their lives.
Well, apart from the women in the book, the sort of framing for the story is that August is just coming away from her father's death. And there's this constant refrain throughout the book that this is memory. August is constantly reminding the reader that this is her recollection. Can you talk about that relationship between daughter and father, and how it is that memory functions in this story?
So early on, August realizes that she, you know, her father's really protective and very loving and this huge caretaker in her life, but she says that she feels like she's on the outside of what her father and her brother have, and that maybe she had that at one point with her mother, and then she eventually has it with the girls. So by the time her father's died, we know she's been studying the rituals of death and dying as an anthropologist for a long time. So she's kind of come to terms with death even before her father died. So she says, you know, death didn't frighten her at all, but Brooklyn was like a stone in her throat. And I think what I was trying to get at was this idea that relationships ebb and flow, right? Her father's the most important person in the world to her, and then she kind of realizes the cracks in that, and then she realizes her friends are the most important people in the world to her, and then she kind of sees some of the cracks in that. And in the end, she figures out that she's kind of the most important person in the world to herself, and it is through memory. She's obviously, we find out, somewhat of an unreliable narrator, but at the same time, she keeps telling us that this is memory because no one can challenge your memory, right? Your memory is your memory. Now, someone else might have a different memory of the situation or a different experience, but what she's saying is, this is mine. Like, this is what I own. And so no one can step inside of this and say and take it away from me. Yeah.
There's another passage I'd love if you would share it with us. It sort of sums up this witnessing of white flight.
Mm-hmm. From that window, from July until the end of summer, we saw Brooklyn turn a heart-rending pink at the beginning of each day and sink into a stunning gray-blue at dusk. In the late morning, we saw the moving vans pull up. White people we didn't know filled the trucks with their belongings, and in the evenings, we watched them take long looks at the buildings they were leaving, then climb into the station wagons and drive away. A pale woman with dark hair covered her face with her hands as she climbed into the passenger side, her shoulders trembling.
Well, first of all, your poetic voice really comes out in this. This is incredibly gorgeous prose.
Thank you.
Of course. I love how this is presented as sort of unremarked upon, as if it were just another component of the environment that this was happening. Can you give us an idea of the Brooklyn that you stepped into as a young child?
So that was the Brooklyn I stepped into. It's interesting because it is. Everything I write about Bushwick is from my memory of Bushwick at that time. So that Bushwick is the most autobiographical character on the page, for lack of a better way to say it. And I moved into a neighborhood at the beginning of White Flight when people were moving to Long Island, upstate New York, Westchester, Queens, wherever white folks were going during that period. And the neighborhood was getting filled with Black and Latino folks who were taking their place. And at that time, places like Bushwick were being referred to as urban ghettos. And so people were leaving the quote-unquote ghettos. And Brooklyn, from an outside gaze, was considered this dangerous place where, you know, gangs were, and poor Black people and heroin addicts and all of this, all the narratives that people who didn't live in that space had for it. And, you know, while there was that, there were people who had returned from Vietnam who were addicted to heroin, sadly. There were there was some gang activity. And at the same time, it was a nurturing place for so many people who felt very, very safe there. And I really wanted to put that on the page to show that this Brooklyn existed, that this was a place that long before Bushwick became this kind of hipster neighborhood that it is now, was a place that nurtured a whole bunch of people into the world.
Yeah, in much the same way that August is sort of saying through, you know, this is memory, this is mine, mm-hmm. and claiming that. I mean, was this book sort of your way of doing that with the place that you live?
Definitely. It was the way of doing that with Bushwick, and it was also a way of doing that with Black girlhood. I mean, I think that, again, I think there is not a lot of narrative out there that talks about how important it was and is for Black girls to have their space and their voice and their existence in the world. And I grew up not seeing it a lot in the novels and in the books I read. And I really wanted to basically write a love song to that. I think it's so important. I think that there's so much beauty and poise and importance in that, in the adolescent Black girl existence that gets underrepresented.
That was author Jacqueline Woodson speaking with producer Mike Johns. Her new book is Another Brooklyn, and she'll be appearing at the Decatur Book Festival on Saturday, September 3rd. That's on the Decatur Presbyterian Church stage.